This is Fresh Air. Since January, the Soviet government has tightened its grip on the Baltic republics, trying to suppress the independence movements. My guest is the Lithuanian poet Tomas Venclova. He was stripped of his Soviet citizenship in 1977. The letter he received from Soviet authorities charged he'd exhibited behavior unbecoming a Soviet citizen. Venclova was a political dissident and human rights activist. He also translated the works of such Western writers as T.S. Eliot, Dylan Thomas, and James Joyce. Venclova has lived in this country for the last 14 years and now teaches at Yale. He visited his mother and friends in Vilnius back in October. Venclova told me despite the setbacks, he remains hopeful about Lithuania achieving its independence.
I am a sort of a historical optimist, which means that I am optimistic as concerning the final result, but I don't feel that I will live long ago to see that final result. But recently I become simply optimistic, not just historically optimistic, and believed that I will live long enough to see this final result myself, that is Lithuanian independence. And I would add that even now, I am still optimistic. I think that Lithuania can achieve her independence, not only formal independence, but also factual independence, in the worst case, probably 2 or 3 years from now.
What does independence for Lithuania mean to you personally?
Well, that simply means normal life. That simply means absence of fear. That means absence of censorship. That means open borders with the West. That simply means market and heightening of standards of life. All those things are important for any nation, and including Lithuania.
You were stripped of your citizenship in Lithuania. What reasons were you given for that?
I took part in Lithuanian and also in the General Soviet dissident movement. I was a member, to be precise, I still am a member of the Lithuanian Helsinki group, a group of dissidents who tried to monitor the Soviet performance according to the Helsinki agreements. That means the situation of the human rights in Lithuania. And some of members of the Lithuanian Helsinki group were arrested. One of them spent 9 to 10 years in prison. And I belonged to the small group of those Helsinki monitors who were thrown out of the Soviet Union and of Lithuania. I was given a Soviet passport and allowed to go to the United States because the university in Berkeley, California, was inviting me to give a course of lectures. And during my stay at Berkeley, I got a letter from the Soviet authorities that my Soviet citizenship has been revoked.
Now, why do you think that they wanted you out of the country as opposed to in prison?
Well, it's difficult to tell. I am wondering myself because both results were quite possible. Probably because my case was better known in the West and my name was mentioned on the Western radio. In such situations, the Soviets sometimes take care of the world opinion.
Do you think that the Soviet government was disturbed by your poems? You mentioned your work in the Helsinki group and the human rights group, but what about your poetry itself? Was that considered a threat?
Maybe, because my poetry was, at least in part, it is metaphysical and private and so on and so on. I write love poems and experimental poems, which are not always too intelligible and so on. But I also wrote some civic poetry, some political poetry, and it was never published, but it was known in the so-called samizdat. That means that people just put it on the typewriter and distributed it. among themselves. And this kind of poetry, of course, was far from being welcome from the point of view of the Soviet government. Some of it has been published in the West before I left Lithuania, in Russian and Polish emigre newspapers. That was also, of course, less than welcome from the point of view of the Soviet government.
My guest is Lithuanian poet Tomas Venclova. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. Lithuanian poet Tomas Venclova is my guest.
I'd love it if you read a poem for us. There's a poem I'd particularly like to have you read, and you'll be reading the English translation of it. And this is a poem in the memory of a friend of yours who was killed in the Soviet Union by the KGB. Maybe you could explain to us the background of the poem.
Yes, it is a poem about a Russian dissident, Konstantin Bogatyrov, who lived in Moscow, who was my close friend. He was a translator, mainly a translator of poetry into Russian. Konstantin Bogatyrov spent part of his life in prison, and in Stalin times he was even given a death sentence, which was later changed, and he got 25 years of imprisonment. He spent in prison only 8 years. He was let out after Stalin's death, but because of his involvement in the dissident movement, he was attacked close to his apartment, hit on the head, and he died after 2 months of suffering in a hospital. And before his death, he told his wife that they finally managed to execute me. The old sentence went through, so to speak. And in that poem, I also speak about several other deaths of people which occurred at that time. That was late 70s, in Moscow, in Leningrad, in Vilnius. Since I was also quite involved in the movement at that time, I expected a similar fate to myself. And this is a poem about those expectations.
Why don't you read the poem?
Yes, the poem has a title, Nel mezzo del cammin di nostra vita. This is the first line of the Dante's Divine Comedy. That means in the middle of our life, of our life's path. And it's dedicated to the memory of Konstantin Bogatyrov. Mid-century has overtaken me. I lived but learned to non-exist at that. That came to be one of the family who claimed the greater portion of my flat. I'd to make her tame little by little. I'd beg her not to touch me with her hand. And in the mornings I'd observe the city, the loveliest of Eastern Europe's land, as far as I know, where iron awaited stroke, where rotting crushes rustle in the mist, there as locomotive, knuckle duster, rock, and possibly some gasoline at best. Within this death I'd sleep, I'd drink, I'd eat, I'd try to give her purposes and sense. I'd even let her slip my mind, but meet her casually, that's almost beyond man's strength. I turned the key in the corridor, the breath would lose its rhythm, the heart would drop its weight onto the chest. To tell the truth, that could even be fortress in this state.
Let me ask you about the last line of that poem. To tell the truth, death could even be fortuitous in this state?
This is an ironic line, because so many deaths in the Soviet Union at that time were not fortuitous, were deliberately given by the government, that some percent of fortuitous deaths also happened. This is an ironical line, as you understand, because this percent of fortuitous deaths was really small.
Are you using the word fortuitous to also mean, you know, death could be caused by natural causes?
Yes.
You know, that you're it's so upsetting to know that you might be killed by the Soviet government or by the KGB. It could bring on a heart attack.
Yes, the fortuitous death in my meaning can include the death by natural causes, But the point is that even the natural causes in the Soviet Union are somehow determined by the totalitarian regime. That the government is in full control of life and death of every of its citizens. And this is the most awful, the most terrible thing one can tell about the totalitarian countries, such as Soviet Union, or for that matter China, or for that matter Iraq.
Now, each of your poems are translated into English twice. They have both rhymed and unrhymed versions. Was it your idea to do two different versions of each poem?
Well, that was Diana's idea, but I think it is a right idea because the very tradition of Lithuanian, or for that matter Russian, poetry is different. We tend to use strict metrical schemes and rhyming, sometimes very complex metrical schemes and very complex rhyming. And those poems are generally translated into English just literally. This does not give the real idea of a poem. A rhymed poem maybe sounds outdated in English because virtually nobody uses strict metrical schemes and rhyming in the United States today. But it gives the idea how the poem sounds in the original.
I don't know how old you are, but I wonder if you have any memories of Lithuania before it was annexed by the Soviet Union.
No, I am already 53. I was born in the independent Lithuania, but I was 3 years old when Lithuania was occupied by the Soviets. So I don't remember the Lithuania before the Soviets. After the Soviets came, in a year the Germans came, the Nazis came, and I remember the Nazi occupation. During the Nazi occupation, I was already 4 to 6 years old. My first memories concern this second occupation, Nazi occupation, which was also, of course, difficult and awful enough. And after the Germans were expelled by the Soviets came back in 1944, when I was 7 years old, and all my conscious life developed under the Soviet occupation.
Were your parents in the opposition movement?
My father was a leftist, and he joined the Soviets. He even was a minister of education of the Sovietized Lithuania for some time. He was also a writer and a very prolific writer, but he was definitely a Soviet writer and not an anti-Soviet one. So, although my relations with my late father were always very correct, and I would say, even very good, and I loved him, but our political opinions differed very strongly.
You teach Soviet literature now. How did you become a student of Soviet literature?
I teach, to be precise, I don't teach Soviet literature. I teach Russian literature. That is a literature of the opposition to the Soviet regime. I teach such writers as Pasternak, Tsvetaeva, Blok, who were strongly opposed to the Soviet regime and never concealed it. So they lived during the Soviet years, but they cannot be called Soviet writers.
As a Lithuanian poet in exile, what do you feel you can do now for your country?
Well, I am doing at least something, contributing to American press and explaining the situation in Lithuania. I am also talking to various audiences, Lithuanian and not Lithuanian, including English audiences. And I hope that it will reach some American audience. And of course, I continue to write poetry, although I am not a prolific poet. Concerning Lithuania's questions. I also visited Lithuania in October and gave lectures and talks and even in a sense was employed unofficially as a sort of consultant to the Lithuanian government.
To do what?
Well, to explain the cultural situation in the West and to prepare some plans for cultural development in Lithuania after it achieves her independence.
Are you in the middle of writing a poem now?
Not today, in any case.
Have you recently finished any poems that relate at all to what's happening in Lithuania now or to your emotions about it?
Well, some of my earlier poems proved to be quite relevant to what is going in Lithuania today. And some of my earlier poems have been published recently in Lithuania and outside Lithuania. But I still don't have any poem about the present developments in Lithuania, partly because I am simply too upset, still too upset because of those tragic events. To write a poem, one has to feel some distance to the events, and it will take probably a month or two when I will be able to feel that distance.
Lithuanian poet Tomas Venclova. He spoke to us from WPKT in New Haven, Connecticut. This is Fresh Air.